99.1 KKFT. Talk that matters most. FM Talk 99.1.
99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. John Potter with Jerry Evans. Jay is announcing the parade. We're broadcasting from the studio in Carson City, and I love this town. I really do. There are certain places that give you a sense of belonging and peace, and for me, that's always been Carson City since I moved here in 1978. You have history here. I love the respect and the preservation of it and so many classic buildings. You have a walk to see historic houses and a self-tour. You have residents going to the cemetery to pull weeds. People place mementos at the grave of Mark Twain's niece. This is the greatest capital in the USA. And with the Carson City Chamber of Commerce, our guest is Ronnie Hanneman. Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, good morning.
Happy Nevada Day weekend.
And to you, you certainly have stolen a lot of my thunder, haven't you?
Well, if you have the day open, folks, head to Carson City today. Ronnie, the state's biggest parade is going on right now, but we have a day-long events. What can people do here this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. Today alone, as you mentioned, the parade is now going on. Depending on where you sit, if you're closer to the south end of Carson Street by the Carson Mall, you've got at least, you can get here within the next hour and see most of the parade because that is where it ends. The Nevada Day Powwow is going on at the Multi-Use Athletic Center, sort of in East Carson City, and that is quite something to see. That's at 1 and 7 tonight. And there's a band, a community band this afternoon at the Legislative Plaza at 5 o'clock tonight at McFadden Plaza. We will have the U.S. Air Force Mobility Band, which is a really cool rock band, going to be playing until 7 o'clock. So that's just part of it.
Well, after two things. After the parade, we have the chili feed,
the
second floor of the Nugget. Who's hosting it this time?
Who's hosting it? It used to be the Lieutenant Governor, and
right.
That is not anymore. I believe it's the Republicans who are running.
Also today at the Governor's Mansion, thousands of pieces of candy for children who also get a picture with the governor.
No, I have to stop you.
Oh, it's a Halloween thing.
That's Halloween. At 2:30 to 4:30 today, people can go and tour the mansion. But Halloween is actually on Halloween, and the governor and the first lady will be giving candy out on that night.
Have you seen the governor's mansion with
yes.
the Halloween? It's they got zombies standing around the outdoor balconies and everything. It was never like that.
Well, you know, it is the public works, the state public works department does that every year, and they love doing it, and you can see their creativity.
Well, it wasn't like, in the old days, Governor List would come out in a suit and tie and dispense the candy in the most businesslike way. But they really went 100% on the Halloween decorations there this year. Then after they take those down, they just convert it right away to Christmas. I love Christmas time in Carson City.
It is wonderful.
Well, 3 years ago, we had the ice skating rink downtown and everything. It's a beautiful sight, but the ice skating rink hasn't been out for a couple of years. I don't know if that
more
was
than a couple. That was about 10 years now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was very expensive. There was no parking. And honestly, they bought a used ice skating rink that sort of evaporated, if you want to put it that way. And it was just something that was not used by the community in general, just a few. So they've done other things since. So it was nice, but also Reno has the best rink.
We had a lot of things open just recently in Carson City. We have
did.
A new Panera Bread and Cafe.
Which, by the way, I went there this morning and picked up some goodies for you that you can munch on at your break. Yes, Panera. This is their first Panera by this organization in Northern Nevada. So we're proud to be able to say that.
Your Walmart in North Carson was just remodeled.
It was, and it's beautiful. It's so shiny and new and updated, and it's just a pleasure. It's not what you think Walmart is.
By the way, Doc from Back to the Future just came back from 2025. He said the Ormsby house is still not finished.
All I can do is sigh on that one. It is not finished. It's the same look as it was years ago. But we're not going to talk about that. Let's talk about the Nashville Social Club. Have you been there?
I was going to say, okay, you have a great hospital, but great restaurants like mm-hmm. Duke's, the Great Basin, and yes, the Nashville Social Club.
And Glen Eagles.
And Glen Eagles, yeah. Of course, and Piazza at McFadden Plaza and the Fox. I mean, it just goes on and on. We're getting more and more restaurants around. So
lots of new stuff downtown.
Lots of new stuff downtown, which is pretty exciting because if people haven't been here for a while, they will be surprised at how Carson City looks. And you were talking about that a little bit earlier. It is definitely a hometown that is very just warm and friendly.
Yeah, you have downtown flower baskets on the light poles, and
yes.
You have a train museum and a waterfall on King Street, and you have the Carson River and the new bike paths on
new bike paths
Carson Street.
Right, and don't forget the Nevada State Museum, which, by the way, I guess we should plug that too.
It's free.
It is free today, as is the Nevada State Railroad Museum is free today.
You have rattlesnakes, but, you know, just be careful.
I haven't seen any rattlesnakes, but don't scare people away, please.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you, Ronnie, for coming in. Appreciate it very much. If you don't mind me disclosing this, Ronnie used to do a show here on Saturday afternoons many, many years ago with Len Seamus, who has passed. But Ronnie, good seeing you again.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the good work. Carson City looks to be doing great, and it's a beautiful autumn day. As you said, the parade will be going on for a while longer. If you're listening in Douglas County or Dayton or Washoe or even Reno, you still have time to come down and enjoy it.
Okay.
Ahern Reynolds Hardware and Supply, the Carson Valley's favorite hardware store, is your source for barbecues and barbecue tackle. Get ready. Gear up for fall with yard necessities and rugged Carhartt clothing. And they are the sponsor of the next segment here at 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We'll talk gardening with David Ruff from the Greenhouse Garden Center in about 3 minutes. It's 11:13.
The FM, news and talk of Northern Nevada. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley. In Reno, Carson, and Douglas County, 99.1 FM Talk.
Yes, 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, broadcasting from the studios in Carson City. Jay is announcing the parade at this moment. My co-host, boss man, Jerry Evans, with me. And I'm really excited about this segment because we've had the Saturday show on for about 6 months, and I always wanted to do a garden segment. And this is perfect timing, the change of seasons. There are things you have to do in your yard.
And apologies in advance, but I may hog this entire...
go for it.
Okay, because I have so many gardening questions. I got into gardening a good 2 or 3 years ago, and not just gardening, but landscaping. And while it just popped into my mind, if anybody has ever been to, if you haven't, put it on your bucket list for those of you that love to garden, to go to Bouchard Gardens in Victoria, B.C. Incredible. It will make you want to come home and try to replicate some of that, which is a little different environment in Victoria, B.C. than there is in Nevada. But David Ruff from the Greenhouse Garden Center. I'm going to jump right in with my questions. First, welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here on,
thanks, Jerry.
We'll call it Nevada Day, even though it's not officially Nevada Day. So I'm going to jump in. I was just having dinner with friends last night, and they said the same thing. And as you know, because I've gotten a lot of trees from you, I'm trying to get an orchard of about 20 to 30 trees established. No fruit whatsoever this year. I've had fruit on some of the trees in previous years. Why?
Okay, so this year we had a lot of wind, more wind than almost ever recorded before in the recorded portion of our history here in Nevada. Plus, we had some colder than average temperatures. And if you remember back, like Mother's Day weekend, we had a high of 43. and we were freezing down around 27. And so that period of time kills off a lot of the flowers, and when the wind is so high, it can rip the flowers and petals right off the plants, whether it's the trees or the bushes. And so, yeah, you end up having zero to limited fruit.
It doesn't kill them, per se, because right after, I remember getting trees from you, and right after I put them in the ground, we had that that cold snap, and it looked like the trees were dead after that. They didn't seem so healthy afterwards, but I assume they're still alive. They are still alive, most of them, but that's just a setback, not necessarily a death sentence.
Right, and we've all gone through life, and we've had setbacks, and we've come through as bigger people. And so when it happens to trees or shrubs where it's frozen, oftentimes the growth portion will be set back. But a lot of times people have come in this year and said, you know, my plant looks bushier and fuller than I've seen it before. And that's because a lot of the growing points had initially been frozen and killed off, but the secondary growing points were there and they developed to make the plant even bushier.
Are begonias a perennial?
In San Diego, they are, but up here in northern Nevada, they are not.
Yeah, okay. Okay, bring them inside if you planted some, and they bring them inside, maybe they may survive. Mums aren't really a perennial, but they're mums that have come back, as well as geraniums.
Right, okay. So with begonias, they're a tuber, which you generally want to dig up and haul inside at this time of the year, and you want to store them in a box, usually with some vermiculite or perlite, in a closet or underneath the house. Geraniums, you can end up bringing inside, and you can end up putting some insecticide on. And we've got something called Bonide Systemic Insect Killer or Control, which you can sprinkle on the pot, which will kill any insects that are coming in, so you don't end up infecting the rest of the plants in the house. But the geraniums will live through the winter in the house. And then the last one that you had made mention was the
begonias. Hostas can. I didn't mention them yet, but I used to live in Maine, and hostas would just come back remarkably every and compare a Maine winter to a Nevada winter. Hostas come back every year. Now I have a hosta in a plant. I have some hostas in the ground. Just let them go. Do anything with them? Do you cut the leaves back, or just let them stay in the ground?
Okay, so with the mums and the hostas, there a lot of times there's two different lines or rules of thought. One is that you clean it all up in the fall because you have time and the ability to do that. The other is to go and let the leaves die down and protect the crown of the plant. And then come spring, you clean it up. And so it kind of depends on the type of personality you are, or if you've hired a gardener. Because you're going to have to do a fall cleaning usually for all the leaves that come down. But if, you know, naturally go and keep them around and put them into the beds, they make a great mulch for you. And this is one of the reasons why, like you say, Maine works out so well for a lot of perennials, is they have a high snow load most often there. While we do not have as much snow here, we can end up putting the leaves on, acting as a blanket to add insulation to the ground and the plants, and have them overwinter even better.
Yeah, and that's what the snow does. It acts as an insulator,
right,
for the plants. Let's see, any other landscaping questions? And then I want to jump into vegetable gardening. John, you got any?
David, I'm a bit like Jerry, where it's very recent for me to get into gardening. I just married. My wife has a massive backyard. And I mean, it takes like 45 minutes to water the
potted there,
plants. And to me, it was, oh my gosh, this is a lot of work. And I tried to get it done. The secret to enjoying gardening is to not look at the clock and just not care about the time. And you are relaxed, and then you really enjoy it. How did the love of gardening first take hold with you? I mean, this is your whole business.
Right. Well, my father was a professor at UNR for a number of years up there, and he had received his degree from Cornell and back in Ithaca, New York, and so he came out to teach out here. So I had a garden when I was like 4 years old, and ever since then, you know, I started my own lawn service maintenance business when I was seven, And so I was mowing yards at 7 years old, and then started working at the nursery at the age of 13. So it's been very easy for me to stay in it. I like being outdoors. I like dealing with the public. And it's one of those things with the four seasons. It's constantly changing. And we're always looking for new and unusual things to come through. And it's always nice to be able to help the
public. All right. So I turned off the sprinkler system. I put the potted plants in the greenhouse. What else do people have to do right now before we get the really cold temperatures?
All right. So a couple of things that you can end up thinking about is one is possibly fertilizing the yard and the lawn one last time. Here, fertilizer at this point will go and be able to be moved into the soil for the plants and trees to be able to use it earlier in the spring than if you apply it next summer. It'll also help keep your lawn healthier so that you have fewer weeds next year. Here in Carson, we've got less rain this year than almost ever before, so we're sitting at about an inch and a third. So doing some winter watering, if you can end up putting out a sprinkler at the end of the hose or a soaker hose or something like that once a month through the winter to help add some more moisture, you will find that your plants will come through with more flowers in the spring next year, and you will not lose any of the tops of the trees. And then lastly, one of the big things is we've got a big, strong deer population throughout almost all of Carson, and a lot of people have it in the outlying areas, is to wrap any trees that are under basically 3 inches in diameter at the 2 foot level with like some plastic tree wrap, and this will prevent the bucks from coming through and rubbing their antlers and destroying your tree, killing it.
I was going to segue from your dad to a woman I met just a couple of weeks ago who is a biology researcher at UNR. And I found it interesting. What they're studying there is pollens. I learned that the life of pollen is approximately 2 weeks. Extreme heat or extreme cold can destroy the pollen from doing what it's supposed to do. You can correct me on any of this. This is what I remember from the conversation. I was standing next to some rabbit brush and said, if you can do something to kill that pollen, I would hand you paper monies right now. Allergies affecting me. But it's agricultural based to try to increase the yield of plants, ag plants in particular. Have you heard about that study? And is it true that basically a pollen has a 2 week lifespan?
Okay, so different pollens will have different lifespans. Since you're a gardener, let's take tomatoes, and as soon as the pollen has left the tomato, it usually has less than 24 hours to hit the female receptacle and be able to work through and fertilize the female portion of the tomato plant. So some pollens are very short-lived, and then there's others that are longer. So to go and put a definite time period on it, that's hard to do. Usually your conifers are going to have a longer time span, and those plants that bloom early in the early spring, late winter, or in the fall and early winter will going to definitely go and have a longer lifespan of their pollen because it has harsher conditions to deal with, and so it needs more time in order to get the pollen to the receptacle.
Does it help to have bees close to your vegetable garden?
Yes, and so there's, bees are, honeybees are usually one of the top pollinators that most people think about in vegetable garden pollinators, and then there are other native bees here that you can go and have. Just have to be careful in thinking, like there's the blue bee or the stingless bee or the mason bee. All of these bees normally are out for about an 8 week period. That's their whole life is 8 weeks, and they are pollinating fruit trees, so they don't do a whole lot for you in the vegetable garden. But there's other bees like leafcutter bees and your honeybees and some of your bumblebees. All of these are out there being pollinators also for you, and you may have a hive in a fence post for some bumblebees and not even realize it and be appreciative of that.
I have a lot of bumblebees and also the little black bees. Not so much honeybees around my particular place, but the little black bees were really busy around my... I had a seedless blackberry bush this year, and they were very busy around that. I actually got swarmed and stung, if I had to put a count on it, about 30 times this year on three different occasions by mountain hornets or the meat bees or whatever you want to call them. Do they serve any other purpose other than being an irritant? And and they have the nest, and this is how I discovered I have a lot of wood chips on the berm that goes along the driveway, and I'm pulling up weeds in the berm, and the next thing I know, I've got about 10 bees on every ankle, and they're swarming and getting up under my shirt. Do they serve any purpose other than being irritants?
So, you know, a lot of times people come in and they ask me, you know, why are these insects, you know, around? Why can't we just eradicate them? But the same holds true for the fly and earwigs and things like that. And a lot of these insects that you are, you know, thinking about that are irritants do have a beneficial aspect in the garden. And so they can go and they can help decompose material. They can go and they can harvest dying other insects or animals, and they work at decomposition a lot of times. And so if we didn't have that, stuff would sit around and just rot on the ground and be a true mess, more so than what it is now. So these are actually beneficial, but in a unpopular way.
Well, David, hang in there because we got a break for Fox News, but we'd like to take gardening questions for you, David Ruff at Greenhouse Garden Center, and our phone number is 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter with Jerry Evans in for Jay on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
Live and local on 92.3 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 99.1 FM Talk, and 99.1fmtalk.com.
Happy Nevada Day weekend in Carson City. The Carson City Studios is where we're doing the show today. Jerry Evans in for Jay Biggs. John Potter is here. David Ruff from the Greenhouse Garden Center. And Brian Lee is coming up to tell us about an event he is doing in Virginia City very soon. And that'll be in about 10 minutes or so. So here we are in fall. Leaves are starting to fall and everything. And I was asking David during the break, and I'll repeat it. I'll try to ask the question as best I can. So I want to kill a bunch of weeds and put down a pre-emergent, but I want to be able to plant stuff in that same area. So what's the timing on it in terms of putting down pre-emergent, waiting, or should I just spray the weeds and then plant soon thereafter? Educate me.
Number of things that you can look at on pre-emergence is there's pre-emergence for turf areas to stop weeds from growing in your lawn, and then there's pre-emergence for outside turf areas that will kill lawn grass plus other weed seeds that are out there.
That's more now, what I'm talking about.
And so for your area there, if you do not have a set time frame in which you are going to be going in, you can go through and you can put this pre-emergent. And a pre-emergent just means that it's a weed killer that kills the seed before it emerges. So you can put this down, you can water it in. Once that's down and into the soil and dried, it starts working immediately. So if you want to go back in and, let's say, plant seeds next spring, you are going to have to go in and you have to irritate the soil. You've got to break it up, usually the top, let's say, half inch to inch. You can do this with a hoe or something like that and just break up the chemical that has made the barrier in the soil and let it go usually 7 to 14 days so the chemical will gas off, and then you can end up planting seeds right away. Now, if you want to end up going in and let's say you've pre-emerged an area and you want to plant bulbs, you can just go through and scrape off the top inch of soil, set it off to one side, dig your hole, put the soil in a wheelbarrow, plant your bulbs, put the soil back in, and then put your pre-emerged soil back on top of it if you can slide it back in kind of in that same method. The same thing will go for any shrubs or trees that you may want to do. So different types of pre-emergence. There's some that only last for, let's say, 3 months. Others will last for like 12 months. And pre-emergence are supposed to go and work at killing the seeds without ending up killing the plants.
David Ruff from the Greenhouse Garden Center is here, an expert on gardening. It seems like every year, I live at the base of the Sierras here in Gardnerville at the south end. Seems like every year there's a new weed that crops up. And I think I have it right, the Nevada elm tree. Some people call it the Nevada weed. It grows very fast. It always looks like it's being eaten by some bug or something. Like I say, there are always yellow spots on the leaves. This year, I have had they're not suckers. I've had those things sprout up everywhere in my wood chips, and they even grow through the weed block, and they've got a long, straight root on them. And when you pull them up, you really got to pull on them pretty hard. You know what I'm talking about?
I definitely do.
What is it? How do you take care of them?
All right. So it's an elm, okay, and the seeds are usually there on these like Chinese or Siberian or, as you called it, Nevada elms, but they are from other lands far east from here, and they will go and they throw a ton of seed out. So not all elms are like this, but this variety that you're talking about produces a lot of seed, and so it'll throw seed everywhere. The pre-emergent that we just had mentioned will go down and will end up killing a lot of these seeds that have fallen. So you can put it over the top of that weed barrier, you can put it over chips, you can put it anywhere you want. But you want to end up doing that sometime, usually between Thanksgiving and, let's say, Valentine's Day, to try and get enough of the winter rain and snow to get it set in the soil, because those elm tree seeds are going to be falling off the tree usually in May, and then they will want to start growing in June. So if you can go and have that pre-emergent down, then you're in the clear for a year. But they are readily seeders, and you're right. They have an insect that attacks them called elm leaf beetle, and the larvae get out there and they chew all the green part of the leaf, leaving those yellow brown splotches everywhere.
Can you make a tree like that look healthy?
There is a product out there called aminocloprid that you can end up putting on the tree every year. It's a once a year application, and so you can pour it on the ground where you water the tree, and it will be absorbed up. And on elms like that, they don't have a whole lot of flowers that the bees are attracted to, so you can put this material down almost any time you want. But it gets absorbed up into the tree and kills any of the bugs that can get into there, and it works on almost every tree or shrub. The main thing is just realize, we talked about bees earlier, pollinators, that the material can get into the nectar, and as the insects are drinking the nectar, they become infected with the insect killer, and you can do those in. So you always want to apply it when the tree is just, or the shrub is just past blooming, so that that insecticide is in there for the rest of the season.
That'd be next spring.
So on elms, you can put that down now. Like I said, there's no flowers on the tree that the bees go to, so you can put it down now and have next season completely insect-free.
Is there anything you can plant in your garden now and be able to harvest it 60, 90 days from now during the winter? You always see these Alaskan TV shows, and they're growing these giant cabbages in Alaska. What should you be doing, either to plant now for next spring, or is there any particular product or vegetable that you can plant now and maybe harvest in 60, 90 days?
All right. So two-step question there. One is that it's definitely time to plant garlic now. So we have four or five different types of garlic, soft neck, hard neck types garlics that you need to plant in the fall so that they get chilled in order to bulb up. And those are going to be ready to harvest next July. And then the other thing that you can end up looking at doing is items like lettuce, cabbage, kale, chard. A lot of these, because we've been warmer now than we have in years past, you can still plant these like on the south side of a house or someplace that acts as a heat source, and it will allow the plant to go through the cold snaps that we're having at night, and the plants will be able to be harvested, though smaller than what you would in the spring, you can still get a lot of these crops that I made mention here in 90 days.
David Ruff, Greenhouse Garden Center. Pests, okay? Seems to be the same amount of squirrels this year. Raccoons are terrorizing our house. Roof rats and mice are way up. I have no idea why, and how are the moles and voles been lately?
Well, you know, with the seasons here and with the warmer winters, we haven't been killing off the rodent population as much as we had in years past. So, yes, definitely we're seeing an increase of pests. You know, the usually squirrels, voles, mice, they can go and they can have clutches of newborns anywhere from like 28 to like 48 days apart. So voles can have 3 to 5 youngsters every 28 days. Mice can be the same way. And, you know, with the limited amount of cold that we had over the winter, that happened right when we had a giant snowfall. So those rodents had a lot of protection through the winter and were able to overwinter quite well without dying off.
You brought a lot of things with you. this is Christmas shopping for you at Greenhouse Garden Center, huh?
It is. You know, if you haven't had a chance to come and see our Christmas shop, it's pretty amazing. We end up doing almost 3,000 square feet of Christmas with a lot of ornaments, a lot of plush material. We've got different types of lights. It's things that are going to go and offer some memories for you or for part of the family. So if you're looking for something memorable, I should say, I'd have you come in and take a look. Today is actually the kickoff day for the gift shop and the Christmas shop. So I'd invite everybody to come after the parade or towards the end of the day if they want.
Oh, you'll see me. My wife is a groupie of your store. She collects the credits there. You got a credit bonus for shoppers. She clips your coupons. And I do appreciate you coming out here. David Ruff from the Greenhouse Garden Center here in Carson City. And hey, we'll have you back again sometime.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Jerry.
All right, David. Brian Lee, comedian Brian Lee, is coming up talking about an event that you can attend in Virginia City. This is Live and Local with John and Jay. Jay is announcing the parade at the moment. Jerry and I will be right back on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
On an Android, get the app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. I'm John Potter. Jay Biggs is announcing the parade. So our co-host on the Live and Local show is, of course, Jerry Evans. Jerry?
Just doing the show today has been a benefit for me and is very informational. I appreciate David Ruff coming in. Sigal Chatta, all of our guests today, Ronnie Hanneman, appreciate you very much. Jay and John will be back next week. Right now, I got a special guest. He's putting on a fundraiser show at Piper's Opera House in Virginia City. Proceeds benefit veterans charities and Piper's operations. He's a veteran himself. Thank you very much. It's on Veterans Day. How appropriate. That's November 11th. But, you know, I've seen a lot of Veterans Days happen on a Tuesday. This particular one is on a Friday. So how about a party in Virginia City on a Friday night?
This is actually the perfect time. It was...
real quick. Brian Lee.
Brian Lee, yes,
there
sir.
You go. Forgot the most important part.
No worries. We appreciate it. Thank you, folks, for having me. This is exciting, being at Piper's again. This will be our third show at Piper's. We were the first comedians who have performed at Piper's in like pretty much forever. And now that we had this opportunity to partner with them on their Veterans Day parade, and we're going to do our show that night, which is going to be pretty awesome. We have myself. I was in the military for 24 years, and which of course that's what leads me to being a stand-up comic. Of course, after working.
What else you going to do with that?
Yeah, after working.
Like
for
my
the
son
government.
Said, there are not a lot of jobs for people to come out and shoot people in the face.
100%, and that's what I. Yeah, after doing that for 24 years working for the government, it's like, yeah, I have nothing better to do than tell jokes at this point. And then I have another great veteran comedian working with me that night. Roddy Norman's going to be there. He was a Marine Corps veteran, fantastic comedian. He's performed all around the country. And another local guy, Dave Mancarelli, is going to be hosting for us. He's the host up at the Laugh Factory in Reno. So it's just such a fun night. And of course, Lisa, I raise money for the Disabled American Veterans, the DAV. And that's where my proceeds go to. And, of course, the rest of the proceeds go to the Piper's operation to keep that beautiful room up and running.
And in case you don't recognize the name or the voice, Brian is the guy that has opened for every Jimmy Fallon show.
Every Jimmy Fallon show is, I like to personally joke, my good friend Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Well, top this one. So, hate to even say this, a little embarrassed by it. But on the day that my divorce was final, I'm picking up Jimmy Fallon, and we're hanging out in the weekend. We went up to Virginia City. We went to the Genoa Bar, had a couple of events, one in Minden, one in Reno. So top that. Who comes out and spends a weekend with a buddy on the weekend that his divorce is final?
That's strong. That is like the best support group
Big
you
time
can
stuff.
Have. You know, if you're going to be going through that, you need to hang out with a comic. That's pretty much all there is to it.
So back to the show. When, how, and can people get tickets for this show?
So right now we're doing a special for if you get advanced tickets, they're $15. All the tickets are being sold at the PipersOperaHouse.com under their events page. If you're military, veteran, or active duty, the tickets are $10 in advance. If you wait till the night of the show, the tickets are $20 at the door, $15 for veterans and active duty military. And we even let reservists in, too. So we'll go with that as well.
You're really pretty stretching the boundaries there, aren't you? He jokes. I make a yoke. 11:53, Brian Lee is our guest. But you're somewhat of a regular Carson City at the Nugget. You pretty much run the comedy club.
I've been the manager there for about 2 years, and I also am the in-house host. So I get to work with everybody, which is so much fun. And I get to having that network of people to hang out with on a daily basis is just so great. It's just fun working there. And we got a great comedian tonight, too. So if anybody's in the area, you're allowed to come out even when Jimmy Fallon is not there. A lot of people don't know that.
What?
On tonight, yeah, Alex Elkin, my good friend Alex Elkin, is his headlining tonight. Fantastic comedian. But also, if I can, I'm also going to be giving away 2 free tickets to the Virginia City show. But there is a little catch to it. You have to find me. Basically, there's about 287 Brian Lees on Facebook. If you find me and send me a message, the first one that sends me a message, I will give you 2 free tickets to the show that night.
Well, Brian, you have some comedy material that veterans relate to.
Again, after 24 years and 2 different branches of the service, I definitely...
Let's hear something. I'm dying to hear this.
No pressure, huh?
Yeah, I want to hear this.
What was funny, I was a split service guy. I actually spent 8 years in the Army and 16 years in the Navy, which just means I was dumb enough to go to boot camp twice. I joined the military 3 days before the first Gulf War started because apparently I didn't know how to read the newspaper. And... I did that. And I don't want to say recruiters lie, but man, they saw me coming. You know, I was 20 years old, just out of college. I just got done watching Red Dawn, I think, for the 37th time. Yeah, and they just looked at me and they said, "You want one of those Rambo jobs, don't you?" And I'm like, "What do you mean? You want to go behind enemy lines and blow stuff up? Chicks dig a guy in uniform?" I'm like, "Sign me up."
Worst duty in the military, any branch. Recruiting, you think?
Agree? Yeah, 100%, and I was a recruiter.
Everybody's got to do it. It and people hate it.
It is. It's tough. There is nothing worse. There is nothing worse than being a recruiter, especially like around the holidays. When I was recruiting, my first month out, it was Thanksgiving, the month of Thanksgiving, and my boss said, "Hey, what are your plans for Thanksgiving?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to spend some time with my family." And he goes, "Speaking of families, you know the college kids are going to be home on Thanksgiving."
I guess what you're doing.
Yeah, and I'm like, "You know what? That's a wonderful idea. I think I'm going to call Johnny and say, Johnny, hey, how would you like to join the Navy and work on Thanksgiving like I am?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "What are you, some kind of comedian?" Here I am.
Brian Lee is our guest. You can catch him in Carson City at the Nugget. He runs the comedy club there. He's open for Jimmy Fallon, all of you people that have come out. Every show sold out. But I also wanted to congratulate you. You recently signed a deal with, was it Netflix or HBO?
It was HBO.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, check it out. I get it free for the first year, and after that, it's just $9.99 a month.
Well done.
Hey.
Well done. All right, back. Let's plug the show one more time. It's on Veterans Day in Virginia City.
Yep, November 11th. The doors open at 6:30. And the show will start 7, unless we're on Aerosmith time. Then we'll start about 7:10, 7:15. But other than that, it's going to be a phenomenal show. And just the room itself is so beautiful. Seeing comedy in a room like that, there's nothing like it.
Oh, yeah. Sweet place. I hosted Comedy Night in the 70s in Virginia City, and it was standing on a table at the Bucket of Blood.
That would be awesome.
No, it wasn't. He had to have balance. Awesome. And I didn't know you were running the comedy club at the Nugget.
Well, yeah, I'd like to call us, we're Carson City's best kept secret. You know, we've been the number one comedy club in Carson City for 8 years in a row.
Carson needs it.
And still the only comedy club in Carson City 8 years in a row. So it's, you know, that's a lot to live up to.
All right, Brian Lee, anything else you want to tell us?
No, just say come back and, you know, come make sure you come out and see us, support veterans charities, and support Piper's Opera House, and support the Carson Comedy Club. Come out and see us every Friday and Saturday night.
Brian Lee, thank you very much.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate
you guys.
Look
forward to seeing you again. John,
yes.
Thanks for letting me sit in. I enjoyed
pleasure.
It very much. We got a finger in the air. What does that mean?
1 minute.
Okay.
How long have you been on radio?
I thought you were checking the see if there was a breeze in here or something. Appreciate all the guests who came on today. Make sure you get out and vote. Hopefully we helped you with some of the information on voting. Remember, don't sign your ballot. Sign the envelope. I learned that, and I've got a dead person's ballot up to the highest bidder right now. You want to cast an extra vote? I'm kidding, of course. Jerry Evans, appreciate you listening very much. Jay will be back next week with John, live and local. You guys will be doing it in Reno next week, right?
Yes, and we have a podcast, 99.1fmtalk.com. Just click the podcast tab. I can't see the clock, so.
You're good. We're good. All right. Thanks again, Brian. And have a great Saturday. Have a great October weekend here in Nevada.